Hi, I'm Jake Devonball, and welcome to Jake's Happy Nostalgia Show, a podcast where me and our friends talk about nostalgic moments and pop culture from our childhoods. We interview people such as actors, producers, composers, puppeteers, and more. We'll be sharing our favorite memories, talk about behind-the-scenes moments, and so much more. I'm your host, Jake Devonball, and welcome to this Jake's Happy Nostalgia Show episode.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Jake's Happy Nostalgia Show, where nostalgia comes alive. My name is Marty Monster, and I'm Matt Bingle. Hi. And our co-hosts, Jake Deffenbaugh, Wyatt McCullough, and Chris Bixby. How are you guys doing?
Hello.
Amazing.
Doing good.
Very good.
As always. I'm excited. Yeah. This week's guest.
He's as well.
Yeah. He's excited.
We're all excited.
This week's guest, kind of a dream come true for us. This week's guest is a big guest.
Legend.
He's known for the Nancy comic strips as well as originating the Muppet comic strips all the way back in 1981. Among many others, you've probably seen him at conventions all over the country. Please welcome the legendary Guy Gilchrist. Guy, welcome. Happy to have you here.
Hello, welcome.
Very much, you guys. Great to see you.
That's awesome.
Great to see you as well.
Likewise.
Yes. So we know who you are, but for people who don't know, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, well, let's see. I'm an Aquarius. I like champagne and
there you go.
Well, let's see. Well, I guess I'll always be known as Jim Henson's cartoonist, even though I've done a lot of other things. But really and truly, becoming Jim's cartoonist, bringing the Muppet Show comic strip, 1981 was big sort of explosion, in a wonderful one in my life. And I worked with Jim until his passing. And I've been an art director for Warner Brothers, MGM, United Artists, the Nancy strip. I don't know. There are about 70 books that I've written and illustrated.
Wow.
You know,
that's crazy.
That's the biggest anybody's ever written on the podcast. You top them all.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I just love Jakey's face when he says that.
And I like long, walks on the beach. And
don't we all?
Don't we all?
Yeah. As long as it's on the beach and not a long walk out.
So I guess to really start this off, what got you into drawing? Like what got you into it?
Well, my mom was a good artist, and she was a single mom. I had a father, but he wasn't in the picture, and she used to take me to where she worked, like at the diner or at the front desk of the hotel. And so that she wouldn't get fired, she'd put me, in a corner on a table with pencils and paper and the funnies, because of course the newspaper came today. We were very poor. Of course, I didn't realize we were poor. That was my activity every single day. And I realized that I could take nothing, a piece of paper with on it, and turn it into something and hand it to somebody and make them happy. And believe it or not, that became, the driving force in my life. And Walter Lantz was the most famous creator, Woody Woodpecker, Chili Willy, and many other things. And Walter would have the Woody Woodpecker show. My mom would let me watch it. Across the street from the diner was an appliance store, and so I could watch it through the window. It was raining. I could go inside, and so I would copy you know, him. And eventually he became a huge influence in my life and was my very first mentor.
Wow.
But really, that's what really got me into it. And, you know, decide that you want to be a cartoonist. And back in those, there was no internet or anything. So you had two choices. You could go to New York City or go to Hollywood. And since I couldn't take a train to Hollywood at 12 years old, but I could, you know, lie to my mom about where I was going and take a train into New York City, I started going into New York City.
Wow.
Nice. That's awesome. Who are some of your, like, biggest influences?
Well, they always will be. I said Walter already.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there are two other Walts. Walt Disney.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
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 Freddie Moore, Floyd Gottfredson, all that worked for him. And Walt Kelly.
Yeah.
Huge influence on me. And, you know, I just think best inking, best drawing, just absolutely wonderful. He'll never be topped. Arthur Rackham, the turn of the century children's book illustrator from England, was also a huge, huge influence on me and my children's books and stuff.
Yes.
And then Dr. Seuss.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yep.
Yes.
He's always a legend.
He's awesome.
Yeah, they're all legends. They're all legends.
Yeah, and then life, of course. Well, okay, I've got an oddball one. Ted Williams.
Oh.
You know, Ted with his work ethic and the very best, and the way that he, you know, hit 1,000 ball every single day when he was a kid. That made a huge impact. You know, I'm a big baseball fan. And then later on, of course, worked for Jim.
Yeah.
Jim became the biggest influence of all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So Jake, why don't you ask the next
question? Yeah, I mean, Jake, you have
to ask. Go ahead.
Yeah, there's lots of them.
Yeah.
Well.
And is, okay.
There's a total of 10 plus some other ones that aren't on there.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. So, how do you get to draw the Muppets comic strip?
Yeah.
Well, so we have a 3-day cast here. Is that so I can tell the whole story? Or
yeah, go ahead.
Sure, go for it.
We got time.
I did, which will not seem like the short version, but trust me, it is. What happened was, I was doing a children's comic book for Weekly Reader.
Oh wow!
Same time was reading a book called Backstage at the Strips by Mort Walker, and Mort, the creator of Beetle Bailey and High and Lois, he became a huge part of my life, and really, and that discovered me. Well, Mort had started a museum of cartoon art on the New York Connecticut line, and I found out about it reading Backstage Strips. So I started going there all the time. They had a program where a famous cartoonist once a month would come there and with chalk talk.
Wow.
And what you guys would know, think of as a paint, chalk talk. And the famous person didn't show up, so they'd be looking around for one of the guys that lived right around there, and there were many famous cartoonists that lived in the area, but sometimes there was no one around, and so they didn't want to do it. And I go and do it. Well, Mort saw me do it one day and asked what did I do? What was the, he said, you know, you did a nice job on the talk, but no one knows who you are. So I showed him the comic book. It was a funny animal comic.
Yeah.
So cut to about a year later, and Mort's playing golf with Bill Yates, the head of King Features Syndicate, the biggest comic syndicate in the world. And Bill was lamenting the fact that I guess they had for a year or two to develop a comic strip on the Muppet Show. That was the biggest thing. And they had tried out a couple of hundred different teams. Jim's people had not liked any of them, and they were about contract. And Mort said, "Oh, that's a frog and a pig, right?"
Well, there you go. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Anyway, so I auditioned.
Yeah.
Dream come true, even if I, you know, didn't get it, it was true. Yeah. But as it turned out, Bill Yates really liked what I did, kept asking me to do a few more. Well, after a while, he said, "Okay, that's enough." But I didn't listen. Since I did, they also tell me that they didn't tell me that I didn't have it up. So I just kept on drawing it. And
there you go.
The phone rang, and it was Gary Jewell, the head writer of the Muppet, and he said, "Congratulations of the job."
Oh wow.
That's amazing.
That is amazing.
Of about a year, and you know, I wasn't being paid during that time, but I, you know, a couple of times during the year, you know, I met Michael Frith. I got to go over Muppet Central, but they were very non-committal, and of course I didn't think I had a chance, but eventually I got the job. You know, you think about it, I was drawing the thing pretty much every day for a year, and I'm so glad. It was a very teaching time for me to do that and to find the discipline to do it. So glad that Jim waited all of that time, because when he finally gave me the job and trip came out, it was the thing in the world. And of course, the spotlight was huge. I didn't know what I was doing. The pressure was enormous at 80 million readers. And had I not had that year of getting comfortable with the characters and not having the job before I had the job, I would have fallen apart.
I bet. So then you later did Fraggle Rock, which is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
Tom and Jerry.
Yeah. So generally, what was it like getting to meet and work with Jim?
Yeah, that's a good question.
But gee, I've never had that question asked of me before.
Wow.
Wow.
What's the first?
Jim, you know, we all what might be like, you know, to know Jim. And times that by 1,000 and you'd be there. You know, I've not been very much starstruck in my life, but, you know, and I've met a lot of famous people.
And
of course Jim and I got to be very, very close, and we worked very closely together. I was always awestruck by Jim, because I, being this little particle in his universe, I could never ever believe that this person could affect the world the way that he did. All of us that worked with Jim were workaholics. We all worked about three lives worth, you know, every year working with him. But of course, why wouldn't you want to work 24/7 when you were doing what we were doing and you were part of a team that was doing what it was doing?
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. Jim was very soft-spoken, a man of few words, very much an action-oriented person. He would teach you, and you wouldn't realize you were being taught. For instance, the audition that lasted a year, that's something. The very first time that Jim critiqued my work, he said something along the lines of, "You know, this is really great.
Yeah.
But we don't want great. We want wonderful." And then he held his hand up and he introduced me to Kermit. Now, Kermit wasn't on his hand. But I started to realize what he meant. You see, before working with Jim, I was accustomed to taking a Chuck Jones character or a Disney character or whatever, and then, you know, trying to figure out that style and working within that style of taking that cartoon and babysitting that icon and making a project out of it and trying to make it work. For what I had to do with the Muppets was the Muppets had not been drawn before.
Yeah.
Except by Michael Frith and by Jim himself, really. Mm-hmm. So what I was doing was actually taking a living thing, because there was life coming through this arm into this felt and this foam, and we had to imbue that cartoon with all of the characteristics, the color, the voice, all of that. And so the way that Jim put it was, we want these to be wonderful. And so that was always my job.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And you also worked, you did some prop work for the 2011 movie, which is amazing.
Oh, well, no, I didn't do prop work. Yeah. They, you know, the prop work I did was in the 80s. Oh, yeah. That was all of those props in Walter's room.
Yeah.
In Walter's room, you know, the props, I drew those props in the 80s, and were personal collection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Awesome. Yeah. The 2011 movie is great. I must ask, this is an interesting question. What's your favorite Muppet movie?
Yeah.
Well, all the first three, for all different reasons, you know, the Muppet movie, because it was so inspiring, and as I was trying to develop the strip, the Caper, because that was the movie that Jim was making when he when he came to see me on that Saturday morning in early 81, he was coming from London working on that movie.
Yeah.
To meet me and to begin our partnership.
Mm-hmm.
Then Manhattan.
Yeah.
While I was working for Jim, and it's like watching the whole movies for me, because everybody that I worked with at Henson Associates is an extra in that movie. Wow. So, of course, that's one that has, want to be a movie star, I want to learn to drive a car. You know, the debut of the Babies, which of course I had quite a bit to do with the Babies.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So in terms of the Muppets, do you have a favorite Muppet to draw?
I love to draw all of them. And I love all of them. And whichever character I'm working on at the time, it always has to be. But before I went to work for Jim, the very first famous Muppet that there was Rolf the dog.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Wow.
That's awesome.
You punks, you don't know. I was the hot dog in the 60s. I was on the Jimmy Dean show.
That's right.
So before the Frog and the Banjo, I was hot stuff. I'll tell you what, I was at every hydrant and dumpster all around. Opa. I love Rolf. He was first on the Jimmy Dean show and Mike Douglas and all of that.
Yeah.
And as I get older, especially, I identify more and more with him because, you know, he's old showbiz and so am I.
Yeah. I bet.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's awesome. Anyway, Matt, why don't you ask the next question?
Hey, you haven't said much.
Yeah, you haven't said much. The host went somewhere.
Yeah. He had one job.
It's fine. It's been what's happening in the shower, so keep going.
He had one job. Anyway, the last couple years you've been touring the country doing conventions.
Yeah.
And all this traveling across the country. What do you enjoy most about doing that?
Meeting you guys. Meeting everybody. The thing is that besides doing like the book tours and you know, and doing the occasional motivational speaking or something like that, I was always, you know, very, very happily, you know, chained to my drafting table and running, you know, a team of people that were doing many, many things. And so I really never got a chance to get out and hang out with you guys. And the thing is after, you know, these 40 some odd years of doing this, you know, all of you grew up and you had kids and stuff.
Yeah.
So now, you know, going to the cons, I get to meet like three generations of people that have affected that I've been so work on. The other thing that's really cool about the conventions is meeting other cartoonists and you know, authors, book guys, and stuff that I really like, and that maybe we worked on similar projects, or we were both in New York in the 70s and the 80s, but we're all working hard, so we didn't get a chance to play with each other very much. And now can, you know,
yeah,
so
now you can,
yeah,
which is amazing. You never think of meeting these people, and then there you go.
Every single thing about the cons, except for the travel, is wonderful.
Yeah.
I bet.
That's awesome.
That is awesome. Do you have any fun stories to share from being at them, at the cons?
Oh, many, many, many. Well, like this past weekend.
Yeah.
This past weekend, it was so, there are quite a few things. Got a chance to got a chance for 3 days or so to hang out with Kevin, you know.
Oh, wow. And
Kevin, I worked on Turtles with Kevin.
Kevin Clash.
I worked
on Kevin Eastman. Kevin Eastman. I saw that. Yep.
You know, I was separate. You know, my studio was already rocking in Connecticut. They were up in Northampton. I didn't know them. So I was doing all my stuff for Kevin and with Kevin separately. And we never met back in the day. I'm glad he really liked what I did, because I mean, you know, he got a punch. Said, you know, that stuff stunk. We didn't meet actually until about 10 years ago. But most of the time at cons, we're far apart sometimes.
Yeah.
And this round we were, you know, they put us right next to each other. So
he's awesome.
And that was a blast.
I bet.
There are many, many, many stories of people that have I cry sometimes at the stories that people tell me about how much a song like Rainbow Connection means to them.
Wow.
That they've, you know, their family members that may have passed away, or that it was their wedding song or something like that, where there was a story, a Nancy story, a lady and told me her name was Nancy. And this was really a story that was meant for Ernie Bushmiller, who had created Nancy, but of course she had never. I got up to all this love. She came up to me and explained that that her mom was pregnant with her while her father was overseas during World War II, and fighting in Italy, and the Nancy strips to him, and that was his connection when he came home, and thank God he did come home all in one piece.
Yeah.
He was by then 4 years old. He would sit her on his lap and they would read the strip together, and she was able to share that with me. There are many, many stories.
Yeah.
You know, the books like Nightlights and Tiny Dinos and things, and just imagine that kids have had all of these years, you know, grandparents and people that are in their 40s now will bring the book to me, and they've had it for 40 years. And now, you know, their children are reading it. And it's just, it warms my heart, and it makes me feel so, so good. Billy West and I, Billy, you know.
Yes.
Billy and I were talking this week about how incredibly blessed by God we are to just be doing our job. This is our job.
Yeah.
It means so much to you. And that's so nice. And, you know, it's so nice. And it makes me feel just wonderful. You know, one of the things that you may not realize is that writing and drawing is a very solitary thing. I'm by myself. Yeah. And I'm hoping that what I do makes you happy, okay?
Yeah.
And so I'm putting it out there in hopes that it works out. And then at these shows, it can be 30 or 40 years later, I find out that I succeed. How neat is that?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So something kind of cool is that I want to bring this up, and Matt, you can unmute for this because I want to bring this up. You do custom art on your website. Hopefully in the future.
Oh, yeah. Hopefully in the future,
you can make one of our own, Matt Bingle, Marty Monster, and his puppet, Julius.
Where is he? Where is Julius?
Where is he? He's hiding.
I'm over Julius. Here. Come on, Julius.
It's Julius.
Yeah, hopefully you could do that. How much does the custom art cost for stuff like that?
There he is.
The prices on commission are all over the place, depending on, you know, color, not there color. Hey, uh-huh. Julius.
Hi there.
Oh, Julius.
Hi, buddy.
Hey, Julius.
Hi.
You know, the stuff are all over the place. But you can go to my website, go to the store. You can go to Guy's Pops. There's a sign back.
Yeah.
You can order stuff and write to me, and we take care of it very expeditiously back to you. And then there's all sorts of artwork, original artwork that's already for sale online and things like that. And as far as the pricing on stuff, it's all over the place. Depends on the size and all of that.
Yeah.
Nice. Really nice.
You know, but the Julius, you're so handsome. How could I even?
That's the first time he's gotten that.
That's honestly first for me. I take that as a compliment. I appreciate that very much.
Yeah. Well, Martin Monster's over there.
Look at the portrait that we just saw. I mean, that's amazing right there.
Yeah.
Look
at there you go.
It's a portrait right here, pretty much.
Yeah
just pretty much. There's
me
picture,
from my side too.
Oh, there's Bean.
Oh, yeah, there's Bean.
Yeah.
Mine's upstairs.
Hello.
So, do you have any drawings that you want to show?
Yeah.
Not right in this room at this moment.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, that's fine. So, what is one piece of advice that you'd give to someone starting out, like as an artist?
And Matt, I know you could use this because you started last year, if I remember.
Well, I've been drawing on and off.
Yeah.
Well, the main thing is don't quit.
There you go.
When I was 10. I sent a whole bunch of artwork to Walter Lantz.
Yeah.
And he wrote me back.
Yeah.
And he told me that I had a lot of talent for a 10-year-old boy, and that if I had practiced and practiced and practiced, and I never, ever quit and never gave up, that someday I was going to be a successful cartoonist.
Yeah.
And there's a whole story that goes along with that, and it is as breathtaking as it sounds. It's very incredible that he did that. But within that letter to a child boy, practice, never ever quit. And
definitely
that's the main thing. You know, most folks quit when they still stink.
Yeah.
So you're not even mediocre, you're quitting. There are many reasons to quit. And I think that if you want to quit, you should, because you don't have the stakes to do what we do.
Yeah.
Being a professional it has to be oxygen for you, because you'll be turned down 99 times out of 100. And then that time that you're not, it's the whole world. And so you need to be loving the process and the journey of drawing and creating, mm-hmm. writing, or if you're a dancer, singing, acting, yeah. whatever it happens to be, you have to love the process and find others that love those processes too, and join, you know, and pump each other up and keep on moving forward and forward and forward. And then it'll eventually happen. One of the other things that happens to people that are in art is that they plateau. They draw. I see this a lot at cons where kids are doing anime or whatever they're doing.
Yeah.
And then it looks like over the last 2 years, they're still drawing the same sort of thing. Well, I always tell them, looking for people that are masters, that know more than you do, and learn from them. If they, get the books, copy people that are better than you, and keep on trying to get better and better and better. If you start thinking that you're really, really good, and you need to practice anymore, then you might as well quit, because you just did. Yeah. You're not and growing anymore. I to remind myself that I'm not any good at all, really.
Yeah.
I have in front of my board every day, I have artwork by Walt Lee.
Yeah.
All of the people, many people that I love. I also have, my family from Jim, things from me, but I'm always looking at the people's work that I've admired, and some people I'll be there, that pride, like, so that's more than the advice.
That's awesome.
It all meshes together to become successful.
Yeah. Hopefully. Yeah. Matt, keep going.
There you go, Hank.
I said, hopefully we can have you back on in the future, because this has been a blast. Would you come back to the podcast in the future?
Absolutely. Sure, I will.
There you go.
Yeah.
Pretty awesome.
So,
anyway, Jake, Chris, hold on. Matt, what were you going to say, by the way?
No, I wasn't going to say anything yet.
Okay, I was going to say. All right, Chris, keep going.
Anyway, so, since we're about to wrap up soon, where can people find you on social media if people want to contact you?
Yeah, well, on Instagram, it's Guy F as in frog.
Yeah.
Guy F. Yo. On Twitter as well. And on Facebook and on the web,
it's
a Guy Gilchrist production.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Been around for so long.
You
just Google and it's everywhere.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
And find out where I'm going to be. Have quite a nice schedule going. If you go to my Facebook page, which is Akai Gilchrist Production, pinned to that page, the top of the page, always is an updated schedule of events.
Yeah.
And I hope that I get to see each and every one of you at a convention or at a speaking engagement pretty soon.
That would be nice.
Nice.
I'll tell you this. Go to Maryland. They don't have much people there to do this.
We really don't.
I know conventions have been opening back up recently. Yeah. So, that'll definitely be something I look forward to.
You know, me and Matt lives in Maryland.
In Ohio.
Yeah. Close.
Ohio.
I'll tell your viewers and listeners that one of the ways that I wind up at places that is that you guys contact these different venues and cons and request me to be there.
Yeah.
They do listen.
They do.
All right. So what do you like to say to your fans?
Any words to your fans out there that's supporting you?
Thank you. Thank you.
There you go, Matt.
So what else can I say but thank you? It's really amazing to me that people have followed me from property to property, characters to characters, worlds to worlds, all of that. Mm-hmm. That honestly, my dreams came true by the time I was 24 or 25 years old, and
Wow. Everything,
it's been incredible journey, and all of the everything I owe it to you guys that have to the fans that have been that have been reading that have found me all of the different that I've done just a book, all of that stuff, just that's it. Thank you.
There you go.
I did not doubt you.
There you go. And also scrolling through Instagram, because that's how I found you. When I was just scrolling through Instagram, your account came up and was suggested.
Wow.
That's how I found you. That's awesome. That's awesome. Julius, how about you take us out with the last question?
Yeah. All right.
Ah. You never asked this question, I don't think.
No, I haven't. You come back? Yeah. All right, cool.
Marty, we'll come back for the photo.
You'll come back for the end. This podcast is Jake's Happy Nostalgia Show. When you think of nostalgia, what do you think of? Like, how do you define nostalgia?
Nostalgia is that makes good.
Yes.
It's a great feeling. Something that makes us happy and comfortable, and it's home in our heart,
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Exactly.
Thank you. And it's been an absolute blast having you on.
Yay.
We'll definitely have you back
on. Yes, indeed. I'm glad you being in the show. And keep up the great work of what you're doing. Can't wait. What's next for you? And you're worth it. And
you are worth it.
Yes. And to all of our guests, all of our viewers and listeners, thank you.
You're worth it also.
Yes. Thank you so much for supporting us, and it's been an absolute blast. And thanks to Geico Chris again.
Yeah, we're on 40 episodes
doing the show.
We're not saying who, but we got a big 40 guests.
Yes, indeed.
A couple weeks away. You won't want to miss it.
Just stay tuned for that, folks.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Thank
you guys so much for watching, and stay nostalgic.
You're worth it as well. See you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
See you next time on another episode of Jake's Happy Nostalgia Show. Be sure to follow us on social media and stream us wherever you find your favorite podcasts. Bye-bye.